हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 19, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 11, Aspects of Transcendental Service. 1.2.194, Offering the Self, from verse 87, illustrated in the 11th canto. A person who gives up all prescribed activities and offers himself entirely unto me becomes the object of my special desires. He achieves liberation from birth and death and is promoted to the status of sharing my own opulences. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.29.34. Srila Prabhupada. Surrendering everything to the Lord. Regarding complete surrender, there is a nice description in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 29th chapter, verse 34, where the Lord says, a person who has completely surrendered unto me and has completely given up all other activities is protected by me personally, both in this life and in the next. In other words, I wish to help him more and more I wish to help him become more and more advanced in spiritual life. Such a person is understood as having already achieved sharshti, having equal opulences with the Supreme. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18.66 that as soon as a person surrenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna takes charge of him and gives him a guarantee of protection from all sinful reactions. He also instructs from within, so that the devotee may very quickly make advancement towards spiritual perfection. So, means he gives up all other activities. Means, here it says he gives up all duties, prescribed duties. So, this means is that he's not dependent upon those. He doesn't have an attachment to those. I don't mean from the mode of ignorance, not attached to doing an activity. We mean is that as an identity. They don't identify that this is me. I am a Brahmin, so I had to do these Brahmin duties and all that kind of stuff. It's that I serve Krishna. So if in serving Krishna, he can engage those Brahminical activities, and he does. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not about prescribed duties of why he's doing anything. He's doing it because he wants to. Does that make sense? Let us say, okay, in the office, then the floor supervisor, it's his birthday. Right? Now, those arrangements being made by people on that floor are out of, you know, how you say, ecstatic transcendental emotions, or it's because of just, that's the way it goes. Right? Okay. Now, let's say someone is very important to you. You know, let's say like the child's birthday. Now you're doing that, oh no, another birthday, you know, the parents are supposed to do birthdays for kids. And there's no, they want to do it. They don't want to do it. Okay, wrong example. Okay. How about the government's being very, very narrow-minded. It's not considering the people, and people are going to march on the state building there to protest and all that, and so then naturally you just spontaneously want to go along with your placard. With your poster to say, you know, we want, you know, our rights, and go like that. That works better? In other words, you have to try to take it and put it into a context that you understand.
Yes.
Let's say, kids, why do they go to bed at the time they're supposed to go to bed? Just because they're supposed to, or because they spontaneously just want to go to bed?
Supposed to.
Yes. Now let's say it's been somehow or another one of those crazy times in history and you haven't slept for 24 hours and now there's a little break of 3 hours. Now you're going to take rest because it's the thing that you should do, and because if you take rest then you'll be able to do more and all that. Or is it kind of spontaneous? Spontaneous, okay. Bingo. Does that make sense? So that's what we're talking about here. It's not that the activity is not the same. It's just that it's not done because you have to. You're doing it because you want to. Right? So on the transcendental platform, we're not considering our conditioning. We're only engaged in Krishna's service. As an instrument, we only have our conditioning to use. Right? You can't use someone else's. I got to take a nap, so then you, do a walk in on someone else's body and then go to sleep or something, right? No, you don't do that. That would be great, right? You could be working, 24 hours and get paid 3 jobs, right? And you're sleeping through someone else, right? That would be good. Anyone tried that? No, it's not okay. So it's just a matter of you're using your conditioning because that's what you have. But you're not using it because it's the rule of the conditioning, that there's something to gain for the conditioning. It's just being done to please Krishna. This is the Atmanivedha, that full surrender. Srila Jiva Goswami. Because he has offered his body to the Lord. Verses 5. Okay. He gives up all activities for pleasure in this life and the next, which nourish the body and things related to the body. Right? So it nourishes the body, the things related to the body, and that it keeps up that bodily identification. Right? So he gives those things up. In other words, we're giving from right now a disclaimer on that. We're going to throw out examples. If they work for people, great. And if they don't, we'll try our best. Right? Because we're coming from such a wide range of backgrounds that we have to try. Right? Okay, you're sitting with a very good friend. You haven't seen them like forever, and you're getting back to, when you're young, you're best friends and everything like that. I know that these are very extended human kind of examples, taking from very archaic kind of things like that. You heard about them, Huckleberry Finn or stuff like that, Yeah, I think also they were there Iliad and Odyssey and stuff like that. You kind of hear about it. So then you meet somebody and like that, you were just going to lunch, they were just, were just going, so you go together, you sit down, you order something to get and eat, but you just talk. And then, you notice the time's up, you have eaten the meal, but you don't remember anything about eating the meal. Right? So in other words, the things that take care of the body and what the body does, you just do out of habit. It's just that you're already doing that, it just goes on anyway. It's just kind of like, let's say, chanting your Gayatri. You start out with the Om, and then you end up with the last Prachodayat, kind of, what? There's nothing in between. Like that. But in this case, it's about the material. So everything spiritual you're remembering, but the material, you just don't even, it's not that you just don't care. It doesn't matter. You're just engaged in the Lord's service. That's all. So externally, it will look the same as everybody else. But internally, then there's nothing other than the Supreme, nothing other than Krishna. That's why Krishna says, then they're very dear to me. I wish to help them become more and more advanced. Right? Because they're only focused on Krishna. Krishna is only focused on them. Okay. The Lord then thinks, quote, I desire to make him special. He then attains freedom from death, amrit tattvam, and attains similarity to me, atma bhuyaya. This means that he attains liberation in the form of attaining his surup and sharshti, powers like those of the Lord's. Footnote 5. This is not an exclusive statement indicating that all who practice Atmanivedanam achieve only sharshti and surupya and not dasya. A person who practices Atmanivedanam, pure bhakti, will attain bhava and prema with rasa. That's the whole point. Wherever it is, it just means sharshti, similar powers like those of the Lord. Now, could a cowherd boy wrestle with Krishna if he doesn't have similar powers? Right? You know, when Krishna is walking and looking cool, can you walk along with him unless you look cool? Right? So in other words, there's similar powers. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole point. So it's in Vaikuntha, then yes, it'll have a very specific form that it looks like. But in Goloka it's different, and in Braj then especially. So that's the meaning. So all the points of liberation are there. They just take on the form that matches that rasa, because the point is to attain prema with rasa. 1.2.195. The learned say that atma mentioned in verse 194 has two meanings. 194. Okay. Yes. From Bhagavatam. Some say Atma refers to the soul having the identity of I, while others say the Atma refers to the body since it belongs to the soul. Yeah. Okay, similar to me, Atma Bhuya. Means he has a form similar, or it means he has a mood similar. Either way it works. Because similar means in Vaikuntha it'll be exactly the same except for the Srivatsa. But in Goloka it means a form that matches with Krishna in that particular rasa. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. It means just like Krishna has his form, so Mother Yashoda has the sarup to be his mother. Right? She has another sarup that's not going to work. Right? Srila Prabhupada. This self-surrender is called Atmanivedana. According to different authorities, self is differently defined. Self is sometimes considered to refer to the spirit, self, or soul, and self is sometimes considered to refer to the mind or to the body. Full self-surrender, therefore, means not only surrendering oneself as spirit, soul, but also surrendering one's mind and body to the service of the Lord. Right? So, someone might say it's just the body is engaged, but we're talking about, no, it means the whole thing. Body, mind, words, everything. But also surrendering one's mind and body. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung a nice song in this connection. While offering himself as a fully surrendered soul, he said, quote, my mind, my household affairs, my body, whatever is in my possession, my dear Lord, I offer to you for your service. Now you can do with them as you like. You are the supreme possessor of everything. So if you like, you can kill me, or if you like, you can give me protection. All authority belongs to you. I have nothing to claim as my own. Right? So that's the mood of Atmanivedana. Right? It's just about the Lord, as we saw before. There's a trust. The Lord's going to do what is best for you. So if that means you live, you die, he gives protection or not, you have facilities or not, it's up to Krishna. Krishna knows what's best for us in our position. Yes.
In Ramayana, when Vibhishan comes and surrenders to Lord Ram, then after surrendering, Lord says, he calls him as Lanka Naresh, the king of, and all the Vanas, and they say that, what if Ravana comes and surrenders to him, what he will do? He will say, I will give him Ayodhya. Then what about Bharat Maharaj? I will give him the king of Vaikuntha, and I will become servant of him.
Okay. Oh, because he's already given Lanka to Vibhishana, so then he'll give Mayodhya. Yeah. And Bharat's the king, yes, so he'll give him Vaikuntha. Yeah, so it's, yeah. So that's the whole point, is that what Krishna says? He wants to make them special, he wants to interact, he wants to do that. 1.2.196. Offering the soul is illustrated in the stotra of Yamunacharya. Whoever I may be, either a soul inhabiting the body and other material elements, or a deva or a human body made of the gunas, today I offer that I to your lotus feet. Whatever that I is today. Srila Prabhupada. Whatever you think you are today. You know, yesterday I was the big manager, and then now I'm not so sure, so you know, now that I is the surrendered soul, or Srila Prabhupada. Sri Yamunacharya in his prayers to the Lord has expressed a similar idea in the following words. My dear Lord, I may be living within some body as a human being or as a demigod, but whatever mode of life, I do not mind, because these bodies are simply byproducts of the three modes of material nature. And I, who am in possession of these bodies, am surrendering myself unto you. Right? Because if you're surrendered to Krishna, it doesn't matter what form you're in. You're going to serve Krishna. Right? It's not that if it's a better form, then you serve better. Right? Does that make sense? Otherwise, then if you go down to the gym, everybody would be a Paramahamsa. Right? But somehow or another, they're not. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami. By the word va, the first phrase, vapur adishu yo pi kopi, indicates his surup, whereas the second phrase indicates the material forms of deva and human. Yata tata vidaha. Asani is the imperative first person of as, to be, may I be. This indicates freely following one's desires. From grammatical analysis, tad ayam should actually be asau ayam. This phrase meaning that and this, connected with a hum, indicates the I who is the soul and the I who is the body. This may be more commonly expressed as so hum. Right? So he's pointing out that, you know, myself, you know, my body, right, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Prabhupada's pointing out that it's there. Because he says some say it's the body, some say it's the soul, but it's actually both together. Because otherwise, if you're the soul, there's no body, how do you express it? And if it's a body and no soul, then that also doesn't work very good either. Mm-hmm. Like that. Not necessarily. Except in Hollywood. Yes. 1.2.197. Offering the body as Atma offering the body as Atma is illustrated in Bhakti Viveka. Just as one does not worry about an animal that has been sold, one should offer his body to the Lord and be disinterested in its maintenance. Right? You just perform your service. It's taken care of. You can say, oh, but that's not practical. But the point is do kids do something to maintain their body? Right? They're maintained. They just do their kid stuff. Right? Does that make sense? You know, and some of them are a little bigger and it's still the same. Is that, no? Yeah. So, the whole point is Krishna maintain, because whose superior authority is maintaining? So Krishna will take care. You just do your service to Krishna, Krishna takes care.
If we accept the superior authority.
Yes, if we accept. If you don't accept, then yeah, take care of yourself, you know.
So the children, they accept the authority, more or less.
Yeah, I mean, that environment that they'll be taking, they have faith that dinner will actually mysteriously and mystically appear on the table.
Yes.
They don't know, have any idea how, but it just does, right? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. In the Hari Bhakti Viveka, there is a statement regarding how one can offer his body in self-surrender. There the devotee says, quote, my dear Lord, as a sold animal has no need to think about his maintenance and sustenance. So, because I have given up my body and soul unto you, I am no longer concerned with my maintenance and sustenance. End quote. In other words, one should not bother about his personal or family maintenance or sustenance. One is actually surrendered in body and soul, he should always remember that his only concern is to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Right? So that's the mood. And so then one makes the arrangement so that one can do that service. Does that make sense? So, like what you were saying before, you're starting from here. Then you're looking at how to practically apply that. And you're dependent on the Lord. Is what comes up, that's what you take. And what doesn't come up, doesn't take. That dream job on the other side of the planet where, you know, everything like that. The only problem is when you go to the other side of the planet, that dream job's on the other side of the planet again. You know, so it's always there. It's like mañana, tomorrow. When tomorrow becomes today, tomorrow's the next day, so tomorrow does not come. Right? So makes sense. It just doesn't happen. Yes. Manana to manana, not manana to manana. Yeah. So basically, in other words, it only works out for Cinderella, right? And the point is we're not Cinderella, so it's not going to work that way. So we should surrender to the Lord. Right? That makes sense?
Right.
Yes. Okay. 12198. So it means you're concerned. How to gain? So therefore, you'd use this, use that. These things are considered, but it's coming from the service, not that. Oh, I have to do this, otherwise I can't do the service. No, it's I have to do the service. So what can we do? It's a different mentality. It's not about the external. It's not about the words. Right. Okay. So that's why it's considered an advanced position. Right. And it's an advanced position that, let's say, like the Shris, they don't even talk about this one. You know, you might bring it up, but detail they will not get into. Because it's only an advanced position, so only those who are older, been through Grihastha life, come to the retired position, then they can talk about it. But the thing, the Braj is that mentality can be there at any time. You see, Prahlad Maharaj, he's 3 years old. He's fully surrendered. Right? And so then it's something that can be done. But it's brought up here because this we should know this is what we're trying to attain to. Less than this is and we're engaged, that's nice, but the standard is this. This is the standard. That this catches Krishna's attention. Before that, yes, he interacts, he maintains as the Paramatma, he's the regulator of the universes, he will take care. But the point is if we're absorbed in Krishna, the person, then Krishna as Paramatma will take care of the body. We, the soul, are absorbed in Krishna. Krishna as Paramatma will take care of the body. Right? Does that make sense? Thank God. 12198. Friendship and offering the self and body are rare because of the difficulty of execution during the state of sadhana. Right? So this friendship and means Sakyamanatmani Vedanam of the nine processes, these are difficult. The other ones, those are very standard. The other seven, those are very much, you know, done in sadhana bhakti. And you're trying to get yourself at least to, you know, that position and mentality of the dasya. You know, you're trying to connect everything you're doing to Krishna. And then absorbing yourself as much as possible in the hearing, chanting, and all these direct activities. Right? So you're doing the direct activities that are mentioned in those seven, in those six, and at the same time you're engaging, you know, what the Varnashram extensions and all that in the Lord's service. Right? So when it says that, it says what's auspicious about it. Just like, let's say we're taking a bath. Okay? What's auspicious about the bath? Cleanliness. Yeah. It's not about what scrubber we're using, what soap we're using, what technique we're using, how long you were in the shower, how hot it was, how close we resemble a lobster after the shower. These are not the things you're offering to Krishna. It's the cleanliness from having taken that bath. That's then what's offered to Krishna. In other words, we're being clean for Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say, what's his name? Yeah, I don't remember his name. Starts with a C, I think. Italian. Very popular. Not Costello, not that one. Yeah, okay. So, in other words, we're doing this for Krishna, not for some other political purpose, essential purpose, or other things like that. It does take care of the body. You take a proper bath, it maintains the body. The body's refreshed and everything and like that. But that's not what we're doing. We're doing it because Krishna likes things clean, yes. So we're taking a bath and we're offering the blessing.
I remember Sikh doesn't cleanse.
No, not that. It goes back. It's like a, you know, kind of Renaissance time. Like that. He got in a lot of trouble. Like that for... Yes, okay. However, some wise men have considered that these two qualify as part of sadhana, right? So he's bringing out that it can, because we have the mood, we're trying for that and all that, so it can function. It may not function in its fullest extent, possibly at that point. But the point is they are, because he says, however, some wise men, right? Srila Prabhupada, Srila Rupa Goswami says that devotional service in friendship and devotional service in self-surrender are two difficult processes. Therefore, such relationships with the Lord can very rarely be seen. Only for the advanced devotees are these two processes easily executed. The purport is that it is very rare to see surrender which is mixed with sincere ecstatic devotion. One must give oneself completely to the will of the Lord. Right? So, it can be counted within that, but at the same time, as it's rare to see. Some won't count them, because it's just too difficult, so they don't count them. But some will count them, but it's still rare. Right? In any case, the number of persons involved in it will still be the same. Right? But one will still call it within sadhana. Does that make sense? So if your sadhana basically is going on to Braja Prem, then you might see it as more of an element. Does that make sense? Because you're still considering all the sadhana, means the sadhana up to bhava, right? Because so the ruchi and asakti is already advanced positions. Well, others, then they so getting to there, it's rare, but it's possible, because you're dealing with such a powerful position. Does that make sense? Srila Jiva Goswami, Atmani Vedanam in its pure form is rare because of the difficulty in execution, not because of having an exalted status, since it may be executed even without bhava. Sakya, right? So even without that, you can have that mood, even if you haven't come to the platform of bhava. But that mood of surrender is there. Right? Does that make sense? That's why it said prema with rasa. It just means the position is there, but then, you know, we may not have that element of bhava. You know, because it's natural at that point. But at the same time, is it may not have that, but so it's difficult to perform, because then, you know, we get distracted or this, or we can do for a moment, we have that feeling, and then the next moment something else comes up. You know, it's like we're in the temple offering those prayers, and we're just, you know, just so absorbed and everything like that. And then while we're doing that, then this whole busload of locals comes and practically knocks you over, and then so much for the prayer, and I'm praying here, you know, that kind of jazz. And yeah.
The bhava shunya, which is like without bhava for Atmanivedan, the example is given of Pali Maharaj. And then with bhava, the example is given of Amrish Maharaj.
Ambarish, yeah, because he's also seen as all of them. And Bali is the one for, he became perfect through self-surrender. And from that, then he came to the perfection of that one. Does that make sense? So that means that surrender could be there, and then you come to that, to prema. Right? You come to bhava. Well, Ambarish Maharaj already was on that platform of bhava. That's why he's doing all these things. So even though he's the king, you just think of him as a great devotee, who is the one who performed all nine processes. Right? Does that make sense? Sakya is rare because of the difficulty in execution and extreme elevated status, since Sakya in its pure form possesses the most elevated bhava. However, if Atmanivedanam becomes mixed with emotional relationships, it will become rare because of its elevated status as well. Pure Atmanivedana is seen in Bali Maharaj when he gave himself to the Lord. Sharanapatti is acceptance of the Lord as one's protector, as a predominant factor. But Atmanivedanam is making oneself the possession of the Lord. That is the distinction between the two. Right?
Acceptance of the Lord as one's protector, this comes as one of the aspects of
Dasya? But not necessarily. It's an Atmanivedanam. But you're seeing that it's within that he's the maintainer, he's the protector. So it's come there, but it hasn't come back to this stage of that full That means that as that full aspect of what we consider the identifying exclusively as the Lord's servant and how you say being meek and humble. Those may not be as strong. They'll be there, of course, but not as strong. The prominence will be this protector and maintainer. And then we see as it goes further, because we see as those six symptoms of surrender. So even here in the middle, then the middle two, then we can count that as that surrender. So it's the Atma Nivedana. But it'll be more this acceptance of the Lord as one protector. But this thing of possession, I belong to the Lord, that's very personal. That makes sense. So you're going beyond the position where he's God and he's taking care. You're going, he's a person, you're a person, and so then you've surrendered yourself as a person and him as a person. So you belong to him. That's why the example of giving up when the animal's been sold, you don't worry about it. They'll take care. So the animal is whatever they get, that's what they get. They're not, you know, they don't worry about it. Right? Does the animal do something else? Right? No, it's just they put out in the field, it eats grass out there, it's sitting in the barn, it eats you know, whatever's in the barn, it's taken care of. So that makes sense. So it's giving those two moods that are there. It's just a matter of what goes that step further. It's just naturally going. But they're all being done as it's all Atma Nivedana. But they're difficult because, you know, to apply, because then you have to have that mood. You have to be consistent with that mood. Now, gaining these moods for a moment here and there, you know, special occasions, darshan of the deity, some kirtan, some nice devotional, engaging in the five direct aspects of devotional service, then at some point these come up. You know, and so that taste, that experience is very special. But for that to be consistent, that's what it's talking about is difficult to execute. Is that clear?
If I'm not wrong, I know like these two qualify in Raganuja Sadhana Bhakti or just a Vaidhi?
That I'm not sure. It just says sadhana. I would think the possession would be more rag. And this Sharanapati could be in either. But as we saw, it doesn't matter. It can be either way. Because the point is if you're following the path of rag, but you're not on the path, you are not in the, don't have that mood of rag, but you're following that path, at some point by following the path of vaidhi, it brings you to rag. Yeah. So that's why one doesn't have to worry about that, oh no, but we have to follow rag. But how do you do that? You know, it's like saying, oh, I have to like this preparation. You know, it's ice cream, you have to like it. You know, so how is that rag? You know what I'm saying? By what definite, which word in there is you have to like it? So you like, okay, like that, but where's the have and to come from? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that it's not a separate thing. Vaidhi is the process, that's what's being described. But the point is it's vaidhi in following the path of rag. Therefore, if that's understood and that mood is there, and you're trying to follow the acharyas and their instructions and what's given and being inspired by the devotees that they give example of, then that will bring you forward to rag. But that requires a certain amount, volume of purity. Right? Because if we're attached, means for the material energy we already have rag. We're already spontaneously attracted and attached to sense gratification in the material world. But you have to give that up to have the space for serving Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the point. It's just about Krishna. Then you give up the other. Then it can be that. But there has to be that surrender. Right? And then naturally then. You see, the one naturally goes into the other. Acceptance of the Lord is one's protector. That's the predominant factor. But it's possession of the Lord. If that, then it naturally matures into the other. So you start with one, go to the other. This idea, I'll jump, it won't work. You know, we're here, in front of the temple, and then you have the step, you've seen the big temple, right? So there's a few steps between the bottom step and the top step. Now, the top step means you can walk into the temple, right? So that's the most elevated platform. So I, on the platform before the steps, I'm just going to jump up to the top step and walk straight in. Right? Isn't that the process? No. So you go up step by step. You know what the goal is, so you go through. So it's not a matter of prestige or this or that. It's just a matter of this is where we're at. So if you can do this, see the Krishna as one's protector. Like, did you notice when we go through, we talk about stuff that's way higher than we can do. Oh yeah, nice and that, very good. But it talked about just, you know, don't worry about, you know, the maintenance of yourself and your family and everything like that. Notice the air goes tense? Because that's just there. We could try for that, but I'm just not. But if you're talking about beyond that, yes, yes, you know, it's just the ecstasies are flowing and it's all, you know, it's all happening and that. I'm not rolling on the ground with ecstasy because it might disturb the minds of the, you know, those who aren't so advanced, so, you know, all these kinds of stuff. No? Yeah.
In describing Jiva Goswami, he categorizes like first hearing and chanting. They're most important because they don't require any of this qualification.
Yes. Yes.
Because for others, you can always give excuse. Oh,
yes, and you can't give an excuse for chanting and all that. I can't chant. You're talking. No, but I just can't bring myself to chant. You're still talking. You
know. Yeah.
That's what I on those. Yeah. But also, that's just what those on that platform that are qualified do. Like that. So that's the fun part about it. It's the highest, but at the same time it's accessible to the lowest. While these others are highest, but they're not accessible. That quite takes qualification, adhikar. So that's the things. These other things you require, like to do deity worship, on that you have to have, you know, something. You know, you have to have detachment to do this one. But without those, then you can chant. Yeah, so it's, yeah, it's just very special that way. Okay, so. Atmanivedanam mixed with the emotions of Dasya is seen in Ambarisha. This is stated in Bhagavatam along with Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayoho and ending with Kamam Cha Dasye Natu Kama Kamyaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 9:4, 18-20. This mixed Atmanivedan is also later stated in the 11th canto with Dasyen Atma Nivedanam. One should give oneself to me as a servant. Right? So it's not, it's just one and nothing. So you might find cases where someone's just that one, but it's they can all go together. That's why you see Atma Ambarishmaras, you have all those things. So it's that Atma Nivedanam, but it has that mood of Dasya, where everything is just engaged in your service. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:11-35. The bhava of a dear lover mixed with Atmanivedana is seen in Rukmini. Quote, therefore, my dear Lord, I have chosen you as my husband, and I surrender myself to you, Atmarpitaha. Please come swiftly, O Almighty One, and make me your wife. Right. So this is in the letter that she sent. You know, and swiftly means she's sending it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because only he could come swiftly enough. She sends this and then, you know, it's like the wedding's happening like very soon. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:52-39. Right? So when he gets there and gives the note, the wedding's the next day. You know, and she's on one side of India and Krishna's on the other. So the Brahma was able to get there in time, but only Krishna would be able to get back in time. Right? Yeah. So this is that bhava of lovers mixed with Atmanivedan. Right? So they're just showing these different aspects, different tastes that are there. Does that make sense? Yeah. In addition, it should be understood that Sakya and other rasas could also mix with Atmanivedan. But you have that aspect of that full surrender. And you see it sometimes. It comes up in their conversation. 1:2, 1:99. Offering articles dear to oneself, from verse 88, illustrated in the 11th canto. Whatever is most desired by one within this material world, and whatever is most dear to oneself, and also dear to me. One should offer that very thing to me. Such an offering qualifies one for eternal life. Srila Prabhupada, offering a favorite article. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, verse 41, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, "My dear friend, if someone offers me the best thing in his possession, or anything which is very pleasing to him, he will be eternally benefited." Srila Jiva Goswami, the particle cha indicates one should also offer what is dear to the Lord. Right? So, you're offering what's dear to you, you're offering what's dear to the Lord. You know, it's the best in your possession, or just what's dear, because sometimes what's dear is not necessarily the best. You know, so you're offering you're offering the best you can offer, you're offering what you feel is the best, you know, you really appreciate, not what's the best for him, you know, like that. And so, like that means, and then what Krishna likes, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Sometimes we can offer something to Krishna, but knowing that we can have the prasad.
Yeah, but at least you offer it to him. So it's a start. It means you've, in other words, you've considered him in the relationship.
Yes.
Like that. So it's a start. It's a beginning, and Krishna will take it. You know, and then you develop from there. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, you're trying to catch someone's attention, but they're always ignoring you. So then at some point, if they do notice you're there, then okay, that's something. Now we can work on it from there. Yeah. Here again, Srila Jiva Goswami.
Yeah.
You got that one? 1-2-200. Making full efforts for the Lord, from verse 88, illustrated in the Pancharatra. O sage, among all the Vedic and routine actions that are performed, the person desiring bhakti should perform those which are favorable for service to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada, performing all endeavors for Krishna. In the Narada Pancharatra, there's a statement of how one can act in all spheres of life for the satisfaction of the Lord. It is stated there that a person who is actually in devotional service must be engaged in all kinds of activities, those prescribed in the revealed scriptures, and also those which are accepted for livelihood. In other words, not only should a devotee engage himself in the prescribed duties of devotional service, which are mentioned in the revealed scriptures, but he should also perform duties of his practical life in Krishna consciousness. For example, a devotee who has a great establishment or factory may offer the fruits of such material possession for the service of the Lord, right? Because that was, so we see that's a detail within that aspect of dasya. Right? Is that you're offering that what you have. So it's not just that in the prescribed duties. Yes, you go to the temple, you chant, you sit there nicely, guru puja, you know, you do everything very nicely. But then in other aspects of your life, you're not connecting that to Krishna. You know, you should connect that also. So performing all endeavors for Krishna. So both you're doing the direct activities nicely for Krishna, but also the indirect, you're trying to see them connected to Krishna. Right? So the benefit of that, you know, so here, probably gets a great establishment or factory. So, you know, all the things that you have to do to get everybody to do their stuff and all the management and that, that's not what we're talking about. It's the auspicious aspect. So in this case, the fruit. Right? Does that make sense? So then that's given. Yeah. So, yeah. But it's also, it says here, that those are favorable for service to the Lord. Should perform those which are favorable for service to the Lord. Among all the Vedic and routine actions that are performed, right? So your livelihood and day-to-day, this and that. Person desiring bhakti should perform those which are favorable for service to the Lord. So you have the aspect of those which are prescribed, that are devotional service, that are regulated as sadhana bhakti, that should be performed. Mm-hmm. Right? And then whatever else is done in routine actions, Vedic and routine actions, that are recommended. Right? Does that make sense? Because that would be dynamic, because then it's about Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? So one may say this is not our nature. But since when does the conditioned nature have anything to do with the soul? Right? So that is a premise is wrong. That we're conditioned to this nature, therefore we have to consider it. That's what Shastra says. But to say we are that nature, that no Shastra says. No intelligent person says that. Right? So that's not being liberal or broad-minded. That's just being ignorant. Right? Then, within that, then we're saying, oh, but I don't have, we don't have habit of this, practice of this and that. Yeah, and little kids have practice of brushing their teeth. What about cleaning themselves after going to the toilet? What about washing their hands after they eat? What about not throwing and leaving their toys all over the place? What about not hitting the cricket ball out through the front window? You understand? So they've learned all of that. And so then if you stop learning, then is that an intelligent position? No. Intelligence means you're always learning. So if you're not now starting to learn how to apply this in the Vedic and that and the high, in other words, you're going from animal up to, you know, how you say, human, how you say, humanoid, up to, you know, being human, why not keep going and come to the transcendental position? Otherwise, if you stop learning, then according to most intellectuals all over the world, when you stop learning, then you are considered dead. Right? So now if we're talking about this is a philosophy for the zombies, okay, that we'll accept, because whatever they were before, they're dead and they're still like that now. They just kind of go through life. Okay, we don't mind. But just make sure everybody knows it's the zombies philosophy. Don't present it as a, you know, upbeat, cutting edge Krishna consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? So one has to move forward. That's the whole point. You were always educated. You're always developing. That's the meaning of uplifting. You can't too. And then the other thing is that we're saying that, you know, this is what I can do. But the whole point is okay, let us say we're living in one part of the country. And we're from there. Like that. But let's say for maintaining the family or for education for the kids or for occupation and all that, do people not move to other parts of the country, other parts of the planet? But they're not from there. Right? The guy's from one place, but then his company gives him an offer of a place in China. So he goes there. Is Chinese food his food? Is that no, it's not at all. But he does it. Why? Because of attachment to the family. So, therefore, if we're not willing, if we're going to just say that we're Westerners, we can't do this, then how much attachment is for Krishna? Because guaranteed, whoever's saying that, there's a good chance that they're not necessarily in the village that they were born in. Because people in villages don't say this. Only city people say this. And how many people were born in the city? You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's the whole thing. And there's a good chance that they were born in the city, they won't say it either. Yeah, so that's the difficulty. So we have to see is here, we should perform those which are favorable for service to the Lord. So then out of all the things that you can do, what's favorable? Choose those, prefer those. Make your life around those aspects. And those that aren't favorable, you try to slowly, slowly adjust those where they're not so important. You know what I'm saying? And in any case, whatever you're doing, the essential points, the auspicious aspects, that's what you're offering to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's all he says, yeah.
Maharaj, these are so things that are speak about to become a credibility of Krishna, we need to be always a student.
You always have to be a student. And you can't be, if you're not a student, you cannot be a teacher. If you're not a student, you can't be a preacher. You're not learning, you can't lead. You can't, means you cannot instruct others if you're not learning instruction. It's dynamic. It's just, you know, it's just like if you have a pipe with water running in it and you put a plug in the middle, there's no water coming out and there's no water going in. So it just doesn't happen. This whole thing is, oh, this is what I am, this is it, that's all, it, fine. But just understand is that all these other aspects, what the impact that it has. And it's okay. You can't do it. Krishna says, don't disturb the minds of the ignorant. But don't say that what you're doing is not ignorant. Right? The common person understands he's a common person. So So don't try to put on airs that we're something special and then just do what the common person does. That is so contemporary history. Right? The guy is down there having so much trouble and this and that. He works his way up to the top, and then when he gets to the top, he just gives everybody trouble. That's why he was on the bottom in the first place. So that is just so ordinary. But we're trying to profess it as if this is so universal, so accessible. Does that make sense? So it won't work. It may work for you, but don't try to make it work for everybody else. In other words, if it's worked for you and it's good, be confident, be comfortable with it. But don't make it a philosophy for others so that you can be comfortable. Okay? Does that make sense? Like, let's say you have a group of very good friends, close friends, right? And these friends, two of them show up in a dhoti and three of them show up in pants. And they're going out somewhere. So if they're good friends, it actually doesn't matter at all. Now if they're uncomfortable, why they're in dhotis, you know, and we're not, it looks bad for us, or, you know, or they're wearing dhotis, and because of that, socially it'll look bad for us. You know, one is a devotion will look bad for us, or socially look bad for us. In any case, it's bad for us. You know, or the other guys, you know, who are these guys, you know, like that, why are they wearing that, why aren't they wearing a dhoti, like this. Then how good of friends are these? And to make a philosophy based on this, that's like, you know, saying it's neophyte would be, you know, and giving it an elevated position. It's just not friendship. You don't care. So that's the whole point, is they can get, it doesn't matter. If it works for you, that's what you wear. If something else works, that's what they do. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, the whole point is we have to bring all this from ourselves to Krishna. What's comfortable for Krishna? And I get as close to that as possible. And so whatever I'm comfortable with today, that's what we do. Tomorrow, because we perform service today, tomorrow will be more purified. Tomorrow we'll see it adjust. Don't be uncomfortable with the adjustment. Don't be uncomfortable with those things that have been an identity your whole life suddenly don't mean anything anymore. Go with it. Then focus on Krishna. And don't change it for another, you know, mundane identity. Does that make sense?
So we need to be guided.
Yes, that's why we associate with those who are more advanced. That's the way we study the scriptures. 1.2.201. Accepting the Lord's protection, Sharanapati, verse 88, illustrated from Hari Bhakti Vilas. He who, while saying, I am yours, accepts the protection of the Lord, feels bliss. Hari Bhakti Vilas, 11.6.77. Srila Prabhupada, being a surrendered soul. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's the following statement about self-surrender. Quote, my dear Lord, a person who has surrendered himself unto you, who is in firm conviction that he is yours, and who actually acts in that way by his body, mind, and words, can actually relish transcendental bliss. Because once we're connected to Krishna, then why we won't taste transcendental bliss? Because if you're always in touch with Krishna, doing things in touch with Krishna, it'll always be wonderful. Right? But if we don't surrender to Krishna, then those areas of non-surrender, they'll always be trouble for us. Even though we're holding on to them because they think it'll give us happiness, they'll always give us trouble. So that's just the way it works. You know, I think it was in that pastime, I think it was with Sanatan Goswami. After he got out of the prison and was going, then he was going with, I think, with an assistant. And they were going through the forest and all that. And they you know, got what came to some place. And they arrived in, you know, like these, you know, hotel, you know, the local, you know, place to get something to eat. They have some place to stay, like this and that. So they went there. Then then when he got there, then that, and they got set up and all that, then people were nicely dealing and everything like that, but for their position it doesn't really match. So then he's thinking, and he asks him, so what do we have with this? What do you have, this and that? And then the servant brought out, something like 8 gold coins or something like that. And he asks him, why do you have this? And he says, I just kept it just in case, we need it for something, because we're trying to go to, I guess, meet Lord Chaitanya, going to Vrindavan. So then Sanatana Goswami immediately took those coins, went to the innkeeper, and gave them to him. He says, here, I'm giving you 8 coins. Can you please, help us get to wherever they were going? And then when he gave him the coins, the hotel owner told him that he has his astrologer, and he said somebody is coming with 8 gold coins in that. So they were planning that night to rob them and all this. So then, so that's the point is that you just surrender, Krishna takes care. Right? Because otherwise, you hold on that attachment like the servant has. That was just going to give them trouble. Right? But you see, Sanatana Goswami, that attitude, then there's no trouble. So that's the point. It's not based on the mode of ignorance that we don't care. It's based on that you're absorbed in Krishna. It's based on pure goodness. Right? It's not that, I'm giving this up because it's so much trouble. Like that. I'm absorbed in Krishna. So that means whatever I maintain or give up, that's depending upon if it's useful for Krishna or not. So if it's trouble and it's useful for Krishna, I take care of it. And if it's not useful for Krishna, then I don't take care of it. Does that make sense? That's the... Also, it is said in the Narasimha Purana, I deliver from suffering that person who takes shelter of me, saying, O Lord of Lords, exciter of all beings, I have taken you as my protector. Srila Prabhupada. In the Nrisimha Purana, Lord Nrisimhadev says, anyone who prays unto me and takes shelter from me becomes my ward, and I protect him always from all sorts of calamities. End quote. Srila Jiva Goswami. Sharanam prapanno smi here means I accept you as my protector. Sharanam praptaha means having attained the Lord as shelter. Thus, Sharanam has these two meanings, protection and shelter. Right, so you're my protector, but you also the shelter. Because otherwise, I have my own shelter, please protect me and this shelter I've taken shelter of. Right? Protect me. I've taken shelter of my money. Please protect me and my money. No, I take shelter of you. That's good. So, yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.